Mainstream Mental Health Radio
with Dr. John Huber.
What do you think you are, crazy or something? Well, you're not.
We're on a mission from God.
News, issues revolving around mental health.
Dr. John Huber, a mental health professional for over 20 years, the chairman for Mainstream Mental Health, a clinical forensic psychologist, and a psychology professor at Texas State University. Breaking the silence of mental health, one day at a time, discussing the human condition, providing a sounding board for mental health issues, and making mental health mainstream.
You got a gift, my friend.
Now it's time for Mainstream Mental Health Radio.
Let the healing begin.
With Dr. John Huber. To Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber. Check us out on social media. Google Plus, Mainstream Mental Health. Instagram, at Mainstream Mental Health. Twitter, at Mainstream MENTL. And search for Mainstream Mental Health on Facebook. Please tune in every week to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber.
Welcome to Mental Health Perspectives with your host, Dr. John Huber and Christian Sonata Walker. Learn more about Dr. Huber by going to his website at mainstreammentalhealth.org and learn more about Ms. Walker by going to her website at everythingehr.com. Dr. Huber, Ms. Walker, welcome to your very own program once again. And the big topic of discussion this week is we're seeing a lot of things in the news about child separation pertaining to the massive immigration debate that's happening in the U.S. right now. Apparently, children are being separated from their families. From your initial perspective, immigration aside, anywhere in the world, what are some of the psychological impacts of a child being separated from their parents? And we'll start with you, Dr. Huber.
Well, first thing I worry about are the residual side effects, like you said, of just being separated and the consequences of loss of trust, their struggle for, you know, who and what they are, where they are. There's so much we gain from our history, knowing who we are as far as our family, where we come from. And then this feeling of abandonment, which is very difficult for an individual, especially if they spend the majority of their childhood in that situation. Who can they trust and what is out there for them? You know, a lot of these kids are going to sit back and they're never going to be able to establish a good relationship with authority type people because they of that feeling of abandonment and loss.
What about you, Ms. Walker?
I agree. I think it also can plant seeds of hate in, you know, a child's brain around, you know, which country or which authority is doing this to me, because that's all that they can, you know, their brains aren't fully developed. They're a child. And so how much anger and so on are they going to harbor against whoever they feel is the atrocity here, whether that's an actual atrocity or not? What does that foster within that small child that they may carry on into adulthood? And also, what kind of, hearing children cry, and I thought this was interesting, Brene Brown spoke out about this. Her husband, I believe, is a pediatrician, and he's studied children and what certain cries mean. And one of the statements he made was, you know, hearing the cries of these children, these are terrified kids. These are not, oh, I'm upset because I didn't get my baba or my binky. This is, I am in abject fear. And that is something that they are going to have to work through in mental health therapy that they will hopefully get for the rest of their lives.
What is the difference?
And it's,
sorry.
I was going to say, and this is something that, the kids around the world, when they are in this situation, go through. It's not just specific to any one thing. When they get abandoned, there's extreme loss. And again, that child mind that's not developed, that's trying to figure out their place in this world and which end is up, that's just devastating overall to their psyche.
From both your perspectives, what types of individuals as adult do you observe to have childhood abandonment issues. Are there certain types of psychological disorders or certain types of individuals, certain types of personalities that you contribute most frequently to have had, to have had child abandonment issues? We'll start with you, Dr. Huber.
Well, yeah. Start with the doctor, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, as devastating as this is, children and our teenagers, they're so resilient that they're able to grow up, and the large majority of them, unless they specifically tell you their trauma, you're not going to know it. It's the ones that aren't as resilient, the ones that there's just something not complete or whole with them that I worry about. Those are the ones who can't pull things together as their life resolves as they become an adult. And they may appear normal, but underlying there may be issues. You know, we think about child abuse, and the vast majority of kids who are physically, psychologically, sexually abused grow up to be good, normal people who don't abuse other people. In fact, they oftentimes become advocates for kids' rights and things like that. So we're not making this army of evil people, if that's the concern. But it's definitely going to have an impact on their life. And the majority of them will try to be positive and change the world in a more positive way. Does that still justify the abandonment like that? No, absolutely not.
Yeah, speaking from me being a kid who was abandoned and dealt with horrible, you know, trauma, childhood trauma, I could have gone one way or another. And I remember the moment, I think I was 11, when I had a very clear choice in front of me of, you're either going to become like your biological father or you're going to go in a very different direction. And at that time, I didn't have any religious or spiritual beliefs because that just wasn't how I was raised. But I remember hearing very clearly a voice that was not my own saying, no, 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 you're not going to go in this direction. And the direction that I went in was to become an advocate and to fight for children's rights and to, you know, take resilience to the level that you're talking about, Dr. Huber. I do know, however, many people who have developed character disorders, personality disorders, that go the other direction. And some of them later in life change, become amazing advocates, and some wreak havoc on society and themselves. So it's really fascinating to try to figure out, and that's why you're in the profession you're in, Dr. Huber. That's why I study this profession, because it's fascinating to see just what is it that makes up someone and why they go in the directions they do out of, you know, severe trauma.
That's amazing, too. You think about it. We lost Charles Krauthammer this week. And the question was, you know, he had a very traumatic event his first year in medical school, and he became a quadriplegic. Yet he went back, overcame, became a doctor, a psychiatrist, got very public and started writing, and became a very impactful correspondent in the United States, well-known. And the question was, you know, if he hadn't had that trauma as a first-year medical student, would he have just become a regular doctor and gone out there and not really had an impact on the world? So sometimes it's the trauma that makes people like you do great things like you're doing for mental health. You know, if you hadn't have gone through that trauma, that loss and that abandonment, you know, you might not be where you're at today. And you know, who knows what your life would be like.
So very true.
I would like to ask you both about the difference between what you experience as a child and what you experience as an adult and its lasting impact on your mental health. My understanding is that when you have a traumatic experience as a child, it is more inclined to be embedded in your subconscious. It's going to have a greater imprint because your brain is still developing, as opposed to having a trauma, say, for example, in your adulthood. I wanted to ask you both, what is the difference between trauma as a child, trauma as an adult? Is either one more significant, more important? And I guess there's another part to that question. is what is the difference between trauma that is imprinted on the subconscious level and trauma that is imprinted on the conscious waking level? And we'll start with you, Ms. Walker.
Oh, goodness. Well, I can say from my own personal experience, the trauma that happened as a child, I didn't know what to do with. I was like the typical deer in headlights. I really just didn't know what to do with it. I didn't have enough life experience and a tool bag full of, oh, this is how I deal with trauma, to help me get through it. And I didn't have anyone in my life at certain traumatic times to help me get through it. So what happens, and that I've seen happen with kids, is you make up a lot of stories around that trauma. And usually those stories are, this is all my fault. If I wasn't so bad at the core of me, this wouldn't have happened to me. Because you kind of, that's the only place you have to go with how young you are. And as an adult, you spend your life sort of battling that, and you can battle it through addiction, you can battle it through bad life choices and so on. The trauma that I've experienced as an adult often has been trauma that wafted into my life or that I sought out because I still was wounded from that early childhood trauma when I didn't have the tools to effectively deal with it. The difference is I have more of a conscious awareness of what trauma is, and I have this long life of therapy and great friends and knowing that I am resilient because I've lived for 48 years, so I've got a nice tool bag I carry around. So the immediate, you're bad, you're an awful person, this is your fault, you created it, that doesn't hit me like it did and the way that my brain as a kid could only process trauma. Does that make sense?
Yes. And how about you, Dr. Ewer?
Well, I think she's exactly right. At a young age, that brain is so underdeveloped. You know, the whole idea that there's this magical world out there, and a lot of kids will go through this stage for a long portion of their childhood. Some people are out of it by the time they're 9 or 10. Some people still have some of that fantasy working system into their early teens. But, you know, I deal with it with adults that are 30, 40 years old who come in, you know, and their parents got a divorce when they were 5 or 6, and they still in their mind think, oh, if I'd have just been a better kid, mom and dad would have stayed together, because there's this Harry Potter delusion that somehow there's this magic out there, and it's looking at how well you behave. Are you a good kid or a bad kid? And that's the world, you know, you live at, you control through this magic. The kids don't understand at that point. And then they're working in my office at 30, 40 years old, you know, going, you know, rationally, I know I had no control over what my parents were doing, but there's part of me that's deep core. And I think you mentioned it earlier, Ryan, when you were talking about this unconscious drive, but this deep core is telling me, but it's still my fault. Even though as an adult, I can look back and say, you know, this happened between my parents and I had no impact on that. They did that on their own, yet somehow they still feel responsible for it. And that's that internal unconscious push that I think will control those people in some fashion, have a major impact on what's going on the rest of their lives. Whereas trauma as an adult, you know, we can rationalize, we can sit down and our brain's fully developed and we can see, oh, this happened, this happened, this happened. And I just happened to be at the end of the line of those dominoes falling over and it was no fault of my own. And we don't internalize some of that stuff. It may make you change your life, but it's not necessarily because of that unconscious or that semi-conscious drive that somehow I did this to myself. And we learn to react as adults to what happens in our environment and respond to that in a rational, substantive way to try to keep that from happening again and have a better life and go on forward in our progression. When we have that as a kid, man, it is just stuck in there. And we still as adults can sit there and not respond rationally to it, even though we know we have no control over what happened.
All right. throughout the most of this program, the focus has been about trauma relating to childhood, especially when it pertains to immigration. So I'd like to know if we can shift direction, because despite the fact that the media will tell you that the world is a bad place and it's crazy, some actual positive news happened this week. And if you go to a website called goodnewsnetwork.org, they're going to tell you a couple great headlines. First headline is, get this, in just 8 years, the jaguar population has increased by 20%. Wow. They were on the way out. Now they're back. Some good things are happening. A woman publicly thanks her friends for helping her step up and beat depression. Wow. I mean, seriously, this is – and get this, another headline. A routine traffic stop uncovers the birth connection between a driver and an officer from 27 years ago. So it seems that despite the fact that the world can be a crazy place, there are a lot of wonderful things happening. I'd like to ask you, Dr. Huber, what are some of the ways that you can see the better side of life and lighter and great things in life? And do you feel that you need to constantly be burdened with all this bad negative news? Should you be having a more positive outlook on life?
I think we as human beings, we have this this morbid curiosity about bad things happening. And I think we do a lot of comparing. Wow, my life is pretty tough, but at least that didn't happen to me, whatever that is. And I think that draws us to bad news. At the same time, I think we are so much better off if we are able to focus on positives. I mean, we don't have the neurochemical responses, the elevated cortical steroids, the adrenaline rush, all that kind of stuff, to these good things that happen when families are reunited after tragedy and like that. But it doesn't hook us like that adrenaline rush does when you read that story of that tragic event. So we are, as a society, we're drawn to those negativity type things. And it's scary, because it's a pure stimulus response type reaction, and the powers that be, governments, politicians, media, they have all figured out how to get our attention. And so now we're inundated with 24-hour trauma, and we have to hopefully, you know, situations like here on the Mental Health Radio News Network, we're trying to focus on the positive things that are out there. And kind of draw that attention. Hey, we can overcome all of this stuff, and we can move forward with that. And it's a choice I think we're making consciously to try to make a better world through positivity, as opposed to focusing on all the negatives. And that's just.
As you're about to say, I agree with you. What do most people do? That if you're driving on the road, you see a car accident, you're probably going, oh, you know, check out the accident. And you see somebody holding a sign that says peace and love. Like, oh, who cares? Like, you know, accident! Look at the accident! Come on! Because, you know, you want to be proud of that. And some people are like, just focus on it. Can't help it. I mean, when you're watching those disaster movies, people don't care about the characters. Like, let's see the disaster.
I know, and it's so funny, because you know what wires you for trauma is early childhood traumatic experiences. So you learn, and your body chemically learns that, oh, that's where I get a hit of adrenaline, is from trauma.
Yes.
Because that was ingrained in you as a little kid. I certainly had that. I finally, as an adult, went, I don't watch the news. I read Google News lightly so that I know what's going on. I do not make a beautiful meal to nourish my body that I have prepared lovingly to eat, and then sit down and destroy every amount of goodness I just created for myself and watch it with the freaking news playing. I mean, I just won't do that. But it took a lot of years for me to not be one of those, you know, and also that altruistic part that you were talking about, Dr. Huber, it's so funny. Mm-hmm. Because as little kids, we have such an ability to live in this wonderful la-la land. I used to make movies out of my life to ignore the horror that was going on around me, and that was a wonderful gift that children have. The problem is when you carry that into adulthood and then you walk around living in altruistic la-la land and you're ignoring all of this stuff, it's going to catch up to you eventually. And so what's nice is, and as an advocate that we both are, is to maintain the ability to be altruistic, to be loving, to be a good person that does good in the world, while also being very, very wise and discerning about a lot of the BS that also goes on in the world.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, and as an adult, I've had to kind of learn, you know, what is a true crisis that I need to worry about? And it boils down to, you know, is somebody going to die if I don't do X, Y, and Z? That's a crisis. Everything else we can deal with, we can handle, we can process, and just relax.
Exactly. One last example. This was a perfect thing to remind me about how important peace and my lovely, peaceful life that was hard-earned is to me now. I had a bunch of drama going on with someone, and they were trying to lay their chaos and drama at my feet, and somehow all the things that they did and their poor life choices they put on me as Kristen's going to swoop in with Mental Health News Radio Network and save us from the chaos we've created. And if she doesn't, we're going to harass and lambast her for it. Jeez. And I did exactly what you did, Dr. Huber. I went, this is not my circus and those ain't my monkeys. I am not doing a damn thing for y'all. You did that yourself. And I think all the good work I do in the world speaks for itself. So y'all have fun, and I hope you learn from this experience, and I'm out. Peace.
And on that note, what a positive note to end today's show with. You've been listening to Mental Health Perspectives. Thanks, our phenomenal host, Dr. John Huber, who's chairman of the Mainstream Mental Health, Mainstream Mental Health, a nonprofit organization that brings lasting and positive change the lives of individuals that suffer from mental health issues. Learn more about Dr. Huber by going to his website at mainstreammentalhealth.org. And Ms. Christensen, a Walker CEO of Everything EHR. Learn more about her by going to mentalhealthnewsradio.com. Dr. Huber, Ms. Walker, great honor to be with you again this week. And we'll see everyone back here next week.
Thanks for listening to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber. Check us out on social media, Google+, Mainstream Mental Health, Instagram at Mainstream Mental Health, Twitter at Mainstream MENTL, and search for Mainstream Mental Health on Facebook. Please tune in every week to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber.